Good morning, sir. Can you hear us clearly?
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Okay, just one second, sir. Where's Mr. Redden? Okay. The next voice you will hear is the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, and she will be the panel lead for your hearing. Thank you, sir.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, ma'am.
Could you please start by stating your full name and your ADC number for the record?
My full name is Van Glenn Williams, and my DSC number is 089971.
Thank you, sir. I'm appearing before the liaison on the Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing concerning the four allegations that are on your warrant. You were notified about this hearing when you signed a form. Do you remember signing the form that said the hearing would be today?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. On that form, there's a list of your hearing rights. And one of your rights is that you could hire, at your expense, an attorney to represent you, or you can represent yourself. So did you hire an attorney today, sir, or will you represent yourself in this hearing?
Well, sir, I represent myself this time, and I have no money for the lawyer.
Okay, it's optional, but it is your right. So we just want to make sure that you knew you had that right. Most people don't hire an attorney, so not a problem. I'd like to introduce you to the members of the board. If you look to your right, so my left, down that way at the end, is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, our board chairman. Right next to him is the Honorable Dave Neal. Right next to me here in the middle is the Honorable Louis Quinones. He's acting as board chair today. Over on the other side of me here is the Honorable Michael Johnson. And my name's Gail Rittenhouse. I will conduct your hearing today. We also have in the room with us, we have Mr. Grady, who is with the Department of Corrections, and he'll represent the department and your parole officer in the hearing today. So I need to swear the both of you in. So Mr. Wynn and Mr. Grady, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm? Mr. Wynn?
Yes, I do.
Okay, and Mr. Grady?
I do, and I have a man.
Okay, all right, what would that be?
On the first page, all right. Conditions, the date is 9/7/18.
Where is that on the page?
Exhibits, says conditions.
Yes. And it should
9/7/18.
Okay, 9/7/18. Okay, Mr. Wynn, the department has asked to make an amendment to the warrant, and the only change is, I don't know if you have a copy with you, but you were given a copy, is down near the bottom of page 1, there's a date beside the word conditions. It's kind of down to the left, and the wrong date is there. So they, instead of December 27th of 2018, it's supposed to be September 7th, 2018. So I've just changed that with a pen. I just want to make you aware that we changed that warrant. Okay, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. So your hearing will be held in two phases. In phase one, we'll go through and determine if you violated the terms of community supervision. And then in phase two, determine if your supervision should be reinstated or revoked. So for phase one, Mr. Wynn, what I'll do is I will read each one of these allegations to you, and I'll ask you as I read each one to respond whether they're true or false. Okay, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, so we'll start phase one of your hearing. And the first allegation is that you were in violation of condition number 8. As demonstrated by your association with inmate Tuan Wen, I'm sorry if I pronounce that incorrectly, ADC 242-428, on or about December 27th, 2018, without prior approval of your assigned parole officer. So, Mr. Wen, is that true or false?
That's a false, ma'am.
Okay, that one's false. All right. And we go to allegation number 2, and that allegation is that you're in violation of 13F, condition 13F, as demonstrated by your failure to refrain from accessing any chat rooms, social networking websites, or websites that cater to sex offenders or sex offender behavior on or about December 27th, 2018. So, Mr. Wynn, is that true or false?
That's true, ma'am.
That's true? Okay. The third allegation is that you were in violation of condition 13F, as demonstrated by your failure to refrain from accessing, that looks the same as the other one, is it? Accessing any chat rooms, social networking websites, or websites that cater to sex offenders or sex offender behavior on or about December 27th, 2018. Mr. Nguyen, is that true or false?
That's true, ma'am.
Yeah, it looks the same as the other one. I'm not sure. I don't know, Mr. Grady, if you want to check that out. And the fourth allegation is that you were in violation of Condition 13H. As demonstrated by your failure to refrain from viewing, purchasing, possessing any pornography, sexually stimulating material products, or entering into any adult establishment of any kind on or about December 27th, 2018. Mr. Nguyen, is that true or false?
That's true, ma'am.
That's true? Okay, sir. All right, now, as far as allegation number one, since you testified that one is false, I'm going to ask Mr. Grady to give us some testimony on that one. Mr. Grady.
Allegation number one. On 9-6-2018, the offender was released from ICE detainer and reported to the Phoenix Electronic Monitoring Unit for his initial intake. During the intake, the offender read, signed, and received a copy of the Arizona Condition of Supervision that included a copy of the Standard Condition of Supervision, which stating the offender is not to have any contact with any victims. I will not knowingly associate with any person engaged in criminal activity, co-defendants, or anyone under the jurisdiction of ADC, probation, or in custody of the law enforcement agency without prior authorization or permission by my assigned parole officer. On 12-27-2018, the offender reported to EMU was directed for his face-to-face contact visit. During the visit, the offender was found to be in possession of a contact information for inmate Tuan Nguyen, ADC number 242-428, who is currently incarcerated at the ASPC Kingman Surat Unit. When questioned, the offender stated to the parole staff that he was helping the family remain in contact with this inmate. At no time was the offender given permission to have any form of contact with anyone still under the jurisdiction of the Arizona Department of Corrections. The offender did not ask nor receive any permission from his assigned parole officer to have contact with any inmate in the custody of ADOC.
Thank you, Mr. Grady. So, Mr. Nguyen, what's not true about that allegation?
Well, what is not true is I haven't had contact with the inmate. That I have the address. I have his address on this piece of paper. I just gave him the paper to get contact with his family because he lost contact with his family when his family moved to the new place. That's why I do. That they haven't found any postmark or stamp or envelope with my name on it, individual's name on that, or any letter I have to write him, something like that. That's all I can do is.
So you just
to have him.
You just had his address, and you weren't communicating with him. You just had his address.
Yeah, to have him, to give it for his family, that's he lost contact with them. That's what I do.
Okay, all right, thank you, sir. If we could just have a little discussion among board members, I don't know that having the address and not communicating with is a necessary violation. He certainly admitted to violating the others, but I don't know what anyone thinks about that.
I mean, following him, he hadn't been done. No contact.
Right, he didn't contact him, he just had his address.
Yeah, but I mean, the application doesn't have anything specific about the address and the his sworn children call that number or something, anything else like that.
Can I let me just ask Mr. Grady for as a parole officer?
Yeah, if they have the information, we believe they contacted the person. That's something we go through all the time in their pockets. And if they have it's hidden less than everything else, that is a form of contact.
That's a common occurrence then.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Then, thank you, Mr. Brady. I'm going to make a motion then, based on testimony from Mr. Brady of Department of Corrections with respect to allegation number one, and then Mr. Wren's admissions for allegations 2, 3, and 4. I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and may have lapsed or had lapsed in the criminal laser company.
Second. Agreed.
Agreed. Okay, seconded by, was that Mr. Neal's voice I heard?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. And agreed by Dr. Wren, Mr. Johnson, Mr. Neal. Okay, Mr. Wren, we'll move on to phase two of your hearing, which is where the board determines if your supervision should be reinstated or revoked.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm sorry?
This is a parole. It's not CSR. It's parole.
No, this is not a parole. This is revocation.
It's a parole revocation.
It's a parole.
It's community supervision.
Well, let's see. The board I have says parole 2018W3745.
I don't understand your point, Mr. Neal. I'm sorry. Do you have
okay, to explain it's a parole revocation. It's not a community supervision revocation.
Parole is community supervision. Okay.
Well, but it's...
In a generic form.
I'll tie-break this and say that parole is a form of community supervision. I know you're going
to understand what you're saying, but I also understand that it's a really more serious violation of something concerned that you don't have and just strictly on PIS.
All right, Mr. Wren, we'll go to phase two of your hearing and determine if your community supervision should be reinstated or revoked. But before we do that, sir, I'm going to ask Mr. Grady to give us all some background information. So, and so just stay on the line, we'll be right back and we'll talk and we'll have an opportunity to tell the board anything we'd like. Okay, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, thank you. Mr. Grady.
Mr. Wren was released from DOC on January 16th of 2018. He was arrested on December 27th of 2018 by parole staff. He has no new charges. He was returned back to DOC on December 27th of 2018. He has a CSED of December 27th of 2019 that reflects zero misconduct. Current conviction, 1992, murder first degree, life. 1992, aggravated assault, life. Prior convictions, he has no prior convictions. He has one term with DLC, his CUIR scores are 3-3, mental health scores are 3, substance abuse scores are 1. He has no gang affiliation, no prior terms of supervision. His disciplinary violations are significant, with violence noted. Other arrests, 1994, sexual assault, Texas County Jail. Community risk score is a G1B1.
Thank you, Mr. Grady. So, Mr. Wren, when you were released, you were allowed to spend your first night at, it looks like a hotel at 765 Northwest Grand Avenue, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and then you went to 14662 West Evans Drive in Surprise?
That's correct.
Okay, and who lives there? Whose house is that?
That's my nephew's house.
That's your nephew, okay.
Yeah.
All right, and then later, it looks like about 2 weeks later, you were approved to go to 5037 West Roanoke in Phoenix. So whose house is that?
That's the house I share a room with. The owner is there. We share a room with them.
Okay, so this is like a roommate for you?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. And were you working, sir, while you were out?
Yes, ma'am. I've been stopped. I had a job after 2 weeks I left from the prison. And I worked until the day I got fired for all my lady.
Okay, what were you doing? What kind of work?
Well, I work in a car dealer's washing.
Oh, okay. Okay, prepping cars at a car dealer? Like getting ready to sell?
Yeah, just washing them, just washing them to dry up.
Okay, all right. And then, looks like you were responsible to submit some urine samples for drug testing. And we submitted three, one in September, one in October, one in November, and they were all negative. Had you had a drug problem in your life? Or?
As I admit that, yes, when I was young, I saw outside, I smoked marijuana once outside.
Okay, just marijuana, no other drugs?
Yeah. No, ma'am, just marijuana.
Okay. All right, so. I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions for you. Any questions for Mr. Wren? Okay, Mr. Wren, we're coming up on the end of your hearing. Before I do that, I'm going to ask Mr. Grady one other question. So, Mr. Grady, even though he's got a life sentence, he's got a sentence ending of December 27, 2019. It just doesn't stop. From the date of his arrest, I mean, there's that coincidental date, but I mean, ordinarily it's a date further in the future. Hold on, Mr. Wren. Mr. Grady's looking in the computer for something here.
Well, after the hearing is going to be calculated, they don't have a date.
Oh, they don't have a date.
Because he has a life sentence.
Okay, so to be determined. Okay. All right.
If he's revoked, then it'll be calculated. That's what it's saying.
Okay. All right. Mr. Wren. The board is just about to come up on a conclusion of your hearing, and we want to give you the opportunity to make a final statement. Is there anything else you'd like the board to consider, sir, with respect to reinstating or revoking your community supervision, sir?
Yes, ma'am. I would like to say some words.
Please go ahead.
Yes, in light of this unfortunate circumstance that I find myself in now, I realize just how unpredictable life really is. And even more so, my own technique for more carefully is planned. Given the reasons back into society, the truth of the matter is that I am not unnecessarily failed myself and others. And that, ladies and gentlemen of the board, I'm going to share the life or the positive side of the good thing that I have accomplished in the 4 months that I was parole prior to this revocation. Within the 2 weeks, I got a job. I secured my job until I got a day Friday on the December 27, 18. I paid my restitution and I knew drug tests come out clean, and moreover, that I never missed that appointment to my PO that I always show up. And on the top of all this, I have helped my parents back in Vietnam and send money to my father, help his hip surgery, and helping my mother medical bill. I also save up some money for eventually buy a car. That's easy for me to go to work. As you can see this here, there are more, a lot of good things to take into consideration here when you all come to deciding to outcome of this hearing to either deny or reinstate my parole. From my personal standpoint, I follow the majority of my parole terms and conditions, and I was not trying to break any rules. I was found by, I have not met or put anybody at risk or in danger. That I hope that this board find out the mitigating factors outweigh the aggravating factor. And that's all of you give me the opportunity to pick up where I left in order to accomplish my goal that I set out to do, that is to be responsible, productive, and in society, while taking care of my elderly parents and satisfying the requirements of my parole while I'm still under their jurisdiction. I'm only looking for some compassion and another chance at life on the outside to prove myself worth upon my dignity. Only you people here today can allow me that opportunity. Joyce, you make basis on the preponderances of the evidence, a lack of it. I can only say that I live there every day, what I have done 32 years ago to prove me in prison. And follows all the conditions, my parole, which is reasons why I'm here. I utilize my next step and how serious the community and correction departments like these violations. Please just give me a benefit of the doubt and allow me blah blah and be in state my parole. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you
for here today. And bear with my English spoken. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Wen. So, Mr. Wen, did you understand when you were on parole that you needed to follow the conditions that you signed?
Yes, I understand, but I've been just people so much as I have run right here that actually the cell phone and technology are not pretty good after the long run, 27 years.
Right.
I don't know much about the technology, and I asked some friends of mine living in the same room with me, was the same house with me, that helped me how to set up the Facebook to get communicated with my parents at home.
Understood.
But we haven't seen each other for almost 40 years in person, and
understood, sir. But because of your crime, your former crime in Texas. That places additional, and specifically I'm talking about the social networking and then the pornography, which is not permitted because of your former crime, sir. So that's what I'm referring to in specific. So to be on community supervision, you need to follow the conditions that you signed. That you said you
Yeah, I know now. Yeah, I know it's serious condition now. So now I know what it is because, as you know, I do my time is for attempted murder,
right.
And nothing related to sex offense. And I thought that is not really, you know, serious. But when the problem I make, the mistake I make is now I wake up that I know that's a serious problem.
Okay,
and,
so
you know. Please give me another chance.
Okay, Mr. Wen, thank you. The board is going to go into discussion, and we just ask that you remain silent, and the board will be back with you in just a moment. Okay, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, sir. The board is now in discussion. Mr. Wen is out on quite a lengthy sentence, as it, Mr. Graves says his release date is to be determined at this point. I don't think that he either understood or took seriously that he needed to follow the conditions of his that he signed, particularly with the pornography and the social networking, and then, as Mr. Grady said, having the address of a relative in prison is the same as communicating with that person. According to the parole's general practice. So he's got, you know, on the plus side, he's sending money to his family, which is very commendable. But he does have the sex offense in the past, which places those additional conditions. And it sounds like his prison history has been pretty violent as well. He has significant discipline with violence. So I'd enjoy hearing some discussion on this, but at this point I'm kind of not leaning toward reinstating community supervision. Any thoughts from anyone? All right, I'm going to make a motion then, based on information in warrant 2018W3745, our conversation with Mr. Wen, information from Mr. Grady, I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Wen was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company, specifically by violating the terms that he signed, the conditions that he signed, with respect to social media and pornography, and that will be my motion.
Second.
Great.
Really? All right. Motion by myself, seconded Mr. Was that you, Mr. Quinones?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Agreed, Dr. Wright, Mr. Johnson, Mr. Neal. Okay, Mr. Wren, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision, sir. The date of your, if there is a release date to be calculated, according to Mr. Grady, that will be recalculated once we have a revocation. So now the department will proceed to calculate a new date. So, we wish you the best. Please involve yourself in programming to the extent you can there, sir. And your hearing is concluded. We thank you for participating in your hearing today, sir. If you put the CO3 back on the phone, we'd appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.